Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Here in town, owners of summer camps in Texas say they need more time to comply with new rules that were adopted after flash flooding killed dozens of people this summer.
Texas lawmakers passed new safety requirements for camps, including one requiring them to have broadband internet connections so they can easily get emergency alerts. Rhonda Roberts with the Heart of Texas Baptist Camp says that would cost them $35,000 up front.
So that would put a significant strain on our nonprofit budget.
But Michael McCowan, who lost his daughter in the flooding, says the camps should be willing to deal with that.
The financial burden they fear is nothing compared to the human cost my family has already paid.
Texas officials say the new regulations should be formalized and in effect by January 1st. From the 24-Hour News Center, Stephen Pickering, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Lockheed Martin is staying in Fort Worth. The Aviation Corporation says Cowtown is the heart of aerospace innovation. Texas includes facilities that handle some of the company's most critical operations involving aerospace, defense, and advanced manufacturing. The Dallas Business Journal is reporting today that Lockheed has renewed their lease at the Fossil Creek Business Park through August of 2031. It involves about 1,800 people.
Well, the city of Dallas will launch a new code enforcement program using mobile cameras and AI technology. The cameras will be installed on sanitation trucks and will collect public information from the street level. Dallas City Councilwoman Paula Blackman says the programs could start early or make that later this year.
Code officers can, you know, use data to look at what's happening, and we don't have to have a lot of manpower to actually do all the work.
Blackman says since the data is captured from the street, it is no different than if a code enforcement officer was out. There were concerns about privacy with the program. It is believed the entire city could be scanned in about a month.
As our daylight hours decrease this time of year, the number of pedestrian accidents goes up. Russell Scott has more from North Dallas.
Here in North Dallas, the Texas Department of Transportation had their walking billboards out. Madison Shine says with the longer days and cooler temperatures, more people get out for walks, and this is the time that pedestrian accidents go up.
Last year in October, there were 89 pedestrians killed in traffic crashes statewide. That is a pretty big number. It was nearly 12% of the total pedestrians killed in 2024.
She says both drivers and pedestrians need to be mindful, and if you're going to be walking, use the crosswalk and maybe wear something that's reflective. At the corner of Midway and Beltline in North Dallas, Russell Scott, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
And President Donald Trump is headed back to the United States after a visit to the Middle East this morning to celebrate the peace deal between Israel and Hamas and the release of the hostages and some Palestinian prisoners that were released by Israel. We are joined now from CBS's Matt Piper, who's been tracking the story all day. And Matt, I got to start with the fact that the president didn't really just have one major speech. He spoke at multiple places in two different countries.
He did. He started the day in Israel, ended the day in Egypt, and yes, he spoke to Israel's parliament at first, early in the morning, our time at least, and then went over to Egypt to sign this Gaza peace deal. So, yes, it was a very busy day. And as you said, he is on his way back to the U.S. now, expected to land sometime tomorrow morning, because that's about an 11-hour flight or so from where he is. But, yeah, I mean, he declared peace in the Middle East today as he began that speech to end the war in Gaza.
Yeah, you know, for a lot of our folks that are just tuning in this afternoon, if you can just give a quick recap of what he said this afternoon.
Absolutely. I mean, he said this is a historic dawn of a new Middle East. He declared peace in the Middle East with surrounding him was more than 20 world leaders who attended this summit in Egypt, where this signing of this peace deal was made, including King Abdullah of Jordan, the French president, the British prime minister. All of that came after Hamas released all of the 20 living Israeli hostages in exchange for hundreds of Palestinian prisoners and detainees. So that began around 1 o'clock Eastern or so, when we started to see the release of these hostages. He was then in Israel meeting with Israel's parliament, speaking to them, and then he went to Egypt to actually sign this peace deal. But there's still a lot of questions about the peace deal. None of us, the general public, have actually seen what's in it. We know that the release of the hostages happened, which is a big deal, and that's great after 2 years. But a lot of experts are just saying that's almost the easy part, and now comes a lot of the hard stuff in terms of what happens next.
It was interesting at one point when he was speaking in the Knesset, which is basically the parliament, the Congress, if you will, inside Israel. He went off script at one point, and of course, President Trump very popular over there, but Benjamin Netanyahu is very polarizing. But I understand President Trump actually turned to Israel's president and suggested that he pardon Netanyahu, who we often forget is in some legal headaches in Israel.
Yeah, I mean, there are legal headaches there, and the president does like to throw around the word pardon, whether it's here in the U.S. Or overseas, and he also obviously likes to make a lot of jokes. It's something to be said that Netanyahu actually stayed back in Israel. He said because of there being some Jewish holidays around this time, he decided not to go to Egypt. So there was no one to sign that peace deal with the other world leaders from Israel, and there was also, no one from Hamas. And, you know, the situation from here, it really does remain fragile. There's a lot of questions on what's next. Will Hamas disarm? That is an Israel demand. Palestinians are demanding for it to be a state, which the current Israeli government, as you're kind of hinting at here with Benjamin Netanyahu, has rejected that. So, and Israel has hinted that it may resume military operations if its demands are not met. So there's still, you know, a lot of big question marks in terms of, you know, today has been a great day for those who have been under captivity for 2 years and really dealing with the chaos of being under a terror group. And it's tomorrow, it's next week, it's next month to see how long this actually holds and to see what may come of it.
Back to the Cowboys, that really just awful loss yesterday in Carolina. Walk-off field goal for the Panthers, 30-27. Cowboys lose it. They're going to bring in Mac Engel now, the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, and his podcast, The Engel Angle. They're going to chat about this latest debacle. The Cowboys are the first team in NFL history to average 30 points a game, 34 to be exact, over a three-game stretch with no turnovers and not have a winning record.
Yeah.
1-1-1.
Unbelievable.
That tells you what you need to know right there, I think. So, Mac, thank you so much for hopping in. Is it coaching? Is it management? Or is it personnel? And the correct answer to that question is yes.
So I was going to say sure.
Close enough.
Yeah. They don't have the players. I mean, they don't. I think, Matt, I think you get to a certain level of coaching in the NFL, and it's really hard to distinguish one guy from the other one. Matt Eberflus is a good coach, but he's, you know, he walked onto a team that wasn't built for his scheme. And one of the problems that all coaches have that I've seen over the years is that they have to have guys who fit their scheme. You're very seldom are going to see a guy, especially in football, because there's so many players, who devises a scheme around their players. They have to do it the other way around. And he's the third defensive coordinator in the last 3 years. You know, they had Dan Quinn, who did a great job under Mike McCarthy, and then Dan Quinn got a head coaching job with the Washington Commanders. And then they brought in Mike Zimmer, and Zimmer, because Zimmer had a relationship with everybody with the Cowboys, and if you looked at what they did last season, they got better as they went along because he made a few modifications. But it was tough because they didn't have players for what Mike wanted. Then Mike retired, and he wasn't going to be brought back. He retired, and then they brought in Eberflus, who had been here before under Jason Garrett, who had been an NFL head coach before in Chicago, and now you give him a bunch of players that weren't drafted for his system. And, oh, yeah, they're really not that great to begin with. So it's a perfect recipe to do with, and before I forget, they traded their most powerful, impactful player, probably on the team, not just defense, 5 minutes before the start of the regular season.
Yeah.
You add it all up, and that's why they're giving up 30 points a game, and they can't stop anybody. I mean, we all knew it was coming. And, you know, just because media forecasters like myself and other people a lot smarter than me say, well, this is going to happen and this is going to happen, it doesn't always mean it's going to happen that way. But in this case, it not only has it gone exactly the way we feared, it's worse.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. If Micah Parsons was still on this team, can you see this defense being that much better anyway?
Better, for sure. I mean, the one thing a player that good can do is occupy multiple players on every snap he's on the field. And they don't have anybody who can do that. There's very few players in the NFL that every time an offense breaks the huddle, they have to say, where is that guy? Micah Parsons is one of those guys. And
we had one.
They just have to know. Like, pardon?
I said we had one.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, they did. And even if he was a diva and kind of a pain in the butt as a, you know, a man-child type, he wasn't a bad guy. He certainly wasn't a criminal. But, he's a bit of a diva. But he was great. He was the man, and he knew it. And they don't have that. Forget the personality. They don't have that talent there anymore. Sam Williams is not working out. He's just not. They have some guys. The thing that's the most troubling is that their best players on the front seven by far are their two defensive tackles. Kenny Clark, the guy they brought in from the trade from Green Bay, and they got blown off the ball yesterday by Carolina. And that's why Rico Dowdle had the greatest day of any running back in the history of the NFL. With like 250 yards from scrimmage. It was just ridiculous what he did. And the challenge is it will get a little bit better because the defense, as they get more and more accustomed to this scheme and he can move some things around, they're not going to get that much better. This is who you have, and you're not going to find anybody else off the street at this point.
I mean, you can't completely let the offense off the hook, though, either, in spite of the points they're putting on the board. Because I just keep going back to that pitiful three and out that preceded Carolina's game-winning drive. That was awful.
I can't argue with it, and I know Dak Prescott was put in a position that he said it after the game when he threw the ball. I think it was on third down. It was a really tight window. And he elected not to throw it because he thought, we're going to get the ball back. And the three and out was embarrassing. You can't do that, especially when the entire team is built around your offense and you specifically. But I understood his logic. His logic is, I better not put that ball in that spot because if we turn it over here, then we're in a real jam. We'll get a stop. We'll allow 3 points or whatever, and then we'll come back to fight another day. And they never saw the ball again. Yeah. And you're right. I can't. But 30 points a game, and you're not winning. I mean, look
bad
at some of these point totals they're putting up, and they're not winning.
So Jerry Jones, he's 83 years old today. I got a great idea for a gift. How about a retirement party? Let's throw one for him.
For which role? General manager, owner, or president? Which one do you think you should retire from?
We'll have three parties.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I can't thank you enough, as always, Mac. Great stuff. We really appreciate it. Cowboys, they got the Commanders at home next week. Hold your breath.
And a mobile quarterback who they always struggle with, Jake Daniels.
Added element. Mac, thanks so much. Mac Engel with the Star Telegram and the podcast, the Engel Angle, with us on KRLD. You're right. They got not going to get any easier.
You know, one of the things that you can't do is you can't go to your quarterback and say, Dak, we're going to need you to score 30 to 40 points a game just to be in the game because our defense is that bad. And that's what they're – and you know what? To Dak's credit, he has, for the most part, answered the call every week. That's why he's playing at MVP-type level. Is he going to win it? No, because they usually give it to
teams,
team and a winner.
Yeah, teams like Baker is make the playoffs.
Yeah, 5-1 over there in Tampa, but – oh, man.
The All Local is updated 3 times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.